What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS, DGEN Nation, welcome back in. We are on to week 5 of this NFL slate. Bye weeks are officially upon us. This is only a small 10-game slate for the main slate, so I don't think there's as much to go through because there's only 10 games. But I will say this. This is a much better looking slate than I think last week's slate did. You know, with some of the totals here, because you have the Chiefs with the highest total on the slate. With 53-point total between them and the Vikings on the road. And the Chiefs have the second-highest implied point total at 28.5. And then you have the Eagles and Rams game that is just behind that at a 50.5-point total, with the Eagles with a 27.5-point implied total. And then even the Dolphins and Giants game has a 48.5-point total, with the Dolphins have the highest implied point total on the slate at 29.75. So this is a pretty good-looking slate. I think there's multiple different ways you can go here. Where last week felt a little bit more just kind of straightforward within the slate. So let's just go ahead and dive right into it, Matty. Quarterback, who are you looking at? Are you going to pay up for Patrick Mahomes or Tua, or are you looking to go somewhere else?
So I'm actually already pretty much on board with my QB for this week, and I'm going right back to the well, the guy I played last week, and that's Matt Stafford. This Philly pass defense has not been good. They just gave up, you know, over 30 points to this Washington offense that we're seeing struggle against Chicago. You know, Kirk Cousins, who looked abysmal against that Philly defense last year, was able to come in and you know, score over 30 DK points against this Philly pass defense as well. So I really like Stafford at home. And he should be getting Cooper Kupp back this week as well. And so, you know, while Cooper Kupp is going to be probably eased into things, I would guess he's not going to play every snap, that still gives Stafford, you know, a really good red zone target. And it's interesting because with Kupp being back, so Puka is priced up, obviously 7.7. Kupp's over 8K, he's 8.6. And then you have Higbee at 4.1 and Tutu at 5.3. What's interesting with Kupp being back is I almost want to play Stafford naked on this slate because the touchdowns can pretty much go to anybody, right? And with how much touchdown usage the Rams have had on the ground so far to start the year, I'm just banking on that not happening against that elite Philly run defense, because Philly's just been a really bad pass funnel. So I'm pretty much banking on the touchdown regression striking in this game all at once for Stafford. And I pretty much have no clue with Kupp being back where those touchdowns are going to go, because, you know, Puka could rack up all the yardage, him and Atwell and Higbee. But then let's say that, you know, Kupp is the guy that they target when they get in close. Well, Kupp's 8.6K, and if he scores the two touchdowns but isn't getting any yardage, you know, there's a world where Stafford goes for, you know, 350 yards and three or four touchdowns, and nobody, you know, pays off their salary. So I actually think it's really interesting to play Stafford naked, which you would never do, you know, nor on a normal slate. So I'm toying around with that kind of build. But yeah, so Stafford is, I think, criminally underpriced. He's exceeded 300 yards in three of his four games. Just mentioned how good of a matchup this is for him at home against a really bad Philly pass defense, which, you know, we didn't expect to be this bad coming into the year. Getting cut back, he should be able to exceed the 300 yard mark again this week. And all it comes down to for him is the touchdown variance, which Kyren Williams has been stealing that from him. I think this is finally the matchup where, you know, they can't really get anything going on the ground when they get in close. So I'm, again, just going to play Stafford. And I know it's, you know, kind of shitty to only, you know, kind of advise only on one quarterback. But I mean, that's pretty much where I'm locked in at. I will say there are other guys that I did have interest in originally. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes, you know, on the road at Minnesota, you can play anybody against Minnesota. They're abysmal. There is a case for Anthony Richardson. So we'll talk about the receivers when we get there, but Steichen, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles last year in this same matchup, had Jalen Hurts throw the football 39 times against Tennessee when they played Tennessee. That was the most pass attempts Jalen Hurts had the entire season. And Jalen Hurts in that game only ran the ball 5 times for 12 yards and a rushing touchdown. So all of Anthony Richardson's production is going to come through the air, which is eventually why, you know, I decided I wasn't going to go that route at quarterback, but it makes me really like the Indy Colts, you know, pass game as a whole. We'll talk about Pittman and Downs, but so Richardson's still interesting. He's going to continue to have success in that offense all season long. Cousins at home in that same game with Mahomes on the other side. And then I don't know if you have the stones to play Burrow. I do like Chase, but I don't, man, Burrow just, he doesn't look right with that calf injury. And I know he's off the injury report and saying that he feels better, but at what point is he just trying to speak it into existence that he's going to feel better, you know, cause it's only been 3 days. Like, is he actually really feeling better? Cause he has not looked good, but he's only 6,200. So it's weird seeing Burrow priced on there against freaking Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, eventually it's going to hit, right? And it's going to come with like stone minimum ownership just because people just aren't going to, you know, want to play him because he's just been so bad. He's burnt so many people. I mean, the most he scored is 16.38 DK points, and that was week two. But the last 2 weeks, he's been under 10 DK points. I mean, it's been absolutely abysmal, but
yep.
I totally agree. Mahomes also hasn't had a big game yet. Really, he's only has one game over 300 passing yards so far. He has thrown two or more touchdowns in three of the four games so far this season. And Minnesota does allow the ninth most DK points to quarterbacks. And one thing that's been interesting with Mahomes this year is his rushing usage. He's actually fourth in rushing yards among all quarterbacks. He is second in red zone carries and seventh in carries per game. And so he's been running a ball a little bit more and a little bit more frequently this year. So that has been something that's helped too.
Do you think, so that's when I was looking at Mahomes, you know, that's something, you know, I obviously always consider, you know, is not always what they have done, but what they can do and what they will do in the future. You know, and trying to get ahead of that. So do you think with the receiving core that Mahomes has, you know, does that limit his ceiling? Because it just seems like those receivers are really struggling this year to, for whatever reason, get open or, you know, catch passes. And I don't know. It just seems like the offense just isn't as in sync as it normally is. And I guess, you know, it's only been 4 weeks and they missed week one with Kelce, and week two, he played limited. And so I guess you could argue they're not really, haven't really been at full strength, and the Jets matchup is not a great one. I mean, I guess just what's your thoughts on, and that's probably why he's running more, right? It's probably because the guys aren't, he doesn't see the openings, you know, down the field. So I guess, do you think that the receiving core hinders his upside at all?
No, because I mean, their offense wasn't, I mean, they had no receivers last year either. I mean, I mean, it was Juju Smith-Schuster in the same cast of characters that they pretty much had, you know, last year. I think some of it is just purely matchup based as to what's happened so far. And their offense, obviously week one, they didn't have Travis Kelce. And then week two was a really gross game they had against the Jaguars, where it was a, you know, kind of a low scoring, just super ugly game where it was 17-9. And then you have to remember, I mean, against Chicago, I mean, they just beat the dog shit out of him in the first half. And then I think he played like the first drive in the second half and didn't play the rest of the time. And then last week against the Jets, I mean, the Jets have one of the best defenses in the league. I mean, the Jets also shut down Josh Allen in week one as well.
Yeah.
That defense is really good. And so I don't think it's so much of that. I just think it's just kind of the way the schedule has fallen so far. And
that's fair.
I do think, so a way to make the stack a little bit cheaper, if you want to play Mahomes, which I'm going to have a lot of interest. I think Rashee Rice is going to be where I'm going to go. He's $3,600. No, Sky Moore's anybody who still believes in Sky Moore should just quit. Talking to you, D bro, if you're listening to this, because Sky Moore is not going to be a thing. Like we're going on, you know, almost a year and a half now of he's out there, he's running routes, but he's not earning targets. And it's because he's not getting any separation. And Rashee Rice has. I mean, Rashee Rice looks like the best wide receiver they have. He's seeing more and more involvement within the offense. So I think that if you want to go with a Mahomes, Kelce, and then a cheap run, a cheaper third option, and a triple stack with Rashee Rice, I think that is the way that I would look to go against this Minnesota defense. So, I definitely have a ton of interest in Mahomes. I think this is a game that could just go off and just be absolutely nuclear. And so between these two offenses, so Mahomes, and I also think Kirk Cousins is in play at home at $6,900. I think whatever, either side of this game, it has the highest total on the slate. And so if you want to get a little bit different and go Cousins, I'm fine with that. And then I completely agree 100% Stafford is in play. That is how you beat the Eagles. The Eagles are excellent against the run on the season, but they have really struggled against the pass. And so I think Stafford is a really good call. And I think it's only going to help them, obviously, getting Cooper Kupp back within this offense. And so Stafford at $5,600 is just incredibly too cheap. And then I would be remiss not to ask, would you have any interest in Zach Wilson at $4,900 coming off that game he just hit against the Broncos?
No, because Stafford's only a little bit more. If Stafford was like 6.5K, we could have this conversation. I think the gap between Stafford and Wilson is just too small for me to get there. But I mean, I totally get it. You know, the Broncos are, no matter what metric you look at, they're grading out as the worst defense to ever step on the football field. Like it is historically bad. So, I mean, yeah, you have to have interest. So, but you can also kind of just play the Jets main pieces without Wilson. So like Garrett Wilson is 6K and Breece Hall is 5.4K. Like you can play one or both of those guys together and not, you know, not have to play the quarterback and still have them, you know, hit value. Like Garrett Wilson only needs to go for 100 yards and one score for him to reach his value. And Breece Hall, you know, kind of the same. And, you know, if Zach Wilson's only thrown one touchdown, but it goes to Wilson, you know, Garrett's getting there, but Zach isn't. You know, and so you can still surround yourself with, you know, high upside quarterbacks like Mahomes or Stafford and still play these Jets guys because they're cheap enough. So I like the idea of playing the Jets without Zach Wilson, but I definitely do have interest in playing the Jets.
I do as well. And we'll talk about that on the when we get to the running backs, because I definitely have some interest there. And then I think lastly, I do think CJ Stroud, who's still only 6K, he's been phenomenal so far this season. He's put up three straight performances of 20 plus DK points. He has hit 300 yard bonus in two of the three games as well. And I think he would have done it the other one against the Jaguars. They just blew the doors off of him. So they kind of just didn't really have to throw the ball, but he has been phenomenal so far. And I do think at only 6K and his pass catchers still aren't overly expensive. So it's kind of an easier stack to get to as well. So that is another one that I would be looking at playing. And then, you know, honestly, I would love to play Daniel Jones, but my God, that offense looks so, so dreadful.
I mean, can't $5,800 do it
in a game that they're going to throw, but I just can't do it. Like I'm not putting any trust whatsoever in Daniel Jones.
Like, they just gave up a record amount of sacks with the O-line. It's just abysmal. I mean, obviously you love the rushing upside. It's a good spot for, they're going to be trailing for sure. But yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, especially with like Stafford, who's even cheaper and is a couple hundred dollars cheaper, or you could get up to Stroud, or hell, I would rather roll the dice on someone like Joe Burrow at $6,200 than play Daniel Jones. Anyways, I think that's pretty much straightforward to me. Like, to me, like, yep. There's not as, and obviously it's a 10-game slate, so I'm going to have heavy exposure to Mahomes and Stafford. I'll sprinkle in some Tua as well in there with maybe a little bit of.
I agree. I don't think it's a slate to go off the wall. Like I even considered Josh Dobbs for a second, but I was like, it's just not necessary. He's 5'2" and Stafford's 5'6". Like it's just not necessary. So yeah, I wouldn't go too crazy at QB because there's a ton of good options at running back and receiver this week. So it's definitely a good slate to play the optimal quarterbacks and then be a little different at the positions.
Yeah. All right. Let's just go ahead and jump over to running back. I don't think we need to waste any more time here. So to start things off, we have Saquon Barkley, who is the most expensive, and he remains limited in practice. We'll see if he's able to play this weekend. It sounds like he might be able to, but he is $8,100. And then you have Bijan Robinson, at $7,700. Derrick Henry at 75. You have Jonathan Taylor, who is a full participant. I mean, it looks like he is going to be back this week, but a very bad matchup. But he's $6,800. Kyren Williams is $6,700. David Montgomery is $6,600. Joe Mixon, $6,400. Alvin Kamara is $6,300. Raheem Mostert, $6,200. Devon Achane is $6,100. And then Swift is $6,000 here at the running back position. And I'm going to throw this out there. I am going to have heavy exposure to Breece Hall this weekend, who is $5,400.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yes, it is just incredibly too cheap. The Broncos are absolutely dreadful against the run, like they are against everything else. And Breece Hall now, we'll see if it comes to fruition, but Robert Saleh did say that he is no longer limited, that they are going to, kind of ramp him up even more. And Dalvin Cook has been absolutely terrible. I think he is like second to last in the league in terms of true yards per carry. It's like 2.5 yards. I mean, he's dust. He's terrible. And so, I mean, at his price at $5,400, it's just super tough to get away from that at that price.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think like one of the first guys I'm playing, when I create any lineup this week is Breece Hall. It's, that Denver defense is just abysmal. They've gotten shredded by every running back that they've played so far. Breece Hall has looked good in the solid matchups that he's had, and he's looked not as good in the tougher matchups against Dallas and San Fran. I don't remember who else they played, but that was a tough matchup. So I'm expecting Breece Hall to smash here. They should give him a little bit more volume this week. I'm not expecting him to get 20 carries or anything like that, but I don't think he needs it. Give him 15 carries and, three or four targets. And at 5,400 against that defense, I am totally fine with that. So I love the Breece Hall call. So Kev, do you remember last year when we talked about Austin Eckler before he had scored any touchdowns on the year and all the DK points that he was racking up and hadn't got in the end zone. And we were like, when Eckler does start scoring touchdowns, he's going to like break the slate. And I think that week we talked about it. I think he scored what, three or four touchdowns that week? And scored like 40 something points. So there's a guy that kind of is in the same conversation that we had last year, and that is Mr. Bijan Robinson against the Houston Texans. So Bijan, in week one, he did score and he finished with 20 points. So let's give him two touchdowns each week. So week one, he would have ended up at 26. Week two, he scored 24 with zero, so he would have been at 36. Week three, he was at 10 with zero, so he would have been at 22. And then week four, he was at 22 with zero, so he would have been at 34 if we give him two touchdowns in each game this year. So 26, 36, and 34 are the games for Mr. Bijan Robinson if you allocate two touchdowns to him. So all that to say, I don't think 7,700 is too much for him against this Houston run defense. He should be able to have a monster game. He's getting a heavy workload, whether he's being targeted or handoff carries. He's got 6, 5, 6, and 5 targets to start the year, and does have a 19 carry game against Green Bay as well. So he does have a ceiling of, you know, 25 opportunities here. And so I really, really like him a lot. And I'm not sure people are going to pay up for him because they want to pay for the high price wide receivers. So I think he's actually a great way to be a little bit different. So I do like Mr. Bijan sliding down just a little bit. David Montgomery, I mean, if he's going to get 32 carries, you know, against a bad run defense, that's what we have here against Carolina. So and there's a chance that Detroit might be without Amon-Ra. So even more of a, you know, want for them to run the football with Montgomery. So 6,600 against Carolina, who's one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. I am totally good with that because he can definitely score two touchdowns. Achan is another one against New York. He looks really good in that Miami offense. You know, I was a bit skeptical with him being banged up in the offseason, and with Mostert, you know, looking good out of the gate, you know, how much he would be involved, but he's, you know, completely exceeded expectations and looks like the lead back there now. And he's still going to split with Mostert. So, but I don't think that really matters for him because of how explosive he is. So he can pretty much house anything. So I do like him against the Giants. They struggle to tackle. And then DeAndre Swift, if you are playing Stafford, I like Swift a lot as a run back because the Rams have actually been good at defending opposing wide receivers, and Philly's been near the top of the league in rushing rate. So Swift actually makes a lot of sense in terms of a run back here in that Rams Philly game. And Swift is now the lead back there for Philly. So he should have a ton of success here against the Rams and can obviously have pass game usage as well. If that game, you know, if they were to be somehow be trailing by, you know, multiple scores, but I don't see Philly really ever trailing anybody by that much, but so yeah, it's really five running backs. That's Bijan, Montgomery, Achan, Swift, and Breece Hall for me. Those are my main five this week that I'm looking at.
Yeah, I mean, David Montgomery is incredibly too cheap at only $6,600.
Yeah.
So far, when you look at him last week, he played 70% of the snaps. He had handled 76% of the rush attempts and 52% of the routes so far. And the Lions are actually running the ball at an insanely high clip, much higher than what I think people were expecting this year. They are sixth in rush attempts per game right now on the season. And David Montgomery is getting the same role that we talked about with Jamal Williams last year, except for there's a difference between, because David Montgomery is actually good, running back. And he has the second most carries inside the five, and four of his five touchdowns have come from inside the one. So David Montgomery is definitely getting that role as well. And honestly, the Panthers have been terrible against the run. They've allowed the fifth most DK points, the second most touchdowns, and the third most rushing yards on the season. And this feels like a really game script type of game where they're just going to continue to run the ball a lot. So we will see if, with Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think that changes things a little bit. But I think Amon-Ra St. Brown will end up playing. I know he has logged two straight DNPs, but it wasn't like he was just standing off to the side and he wasn't doing anything. He was actually working with trainers and doing a lot of different things off to the side. He just wasn't in practice. So, but I think he will return. I think you'll see him out there at practice tomorrow and log some practice time. But regardless of that, David Montgomery, $6,600 is just way too cheap for that price tag and for what the upside that he brings. I mean, he's been pretty phenomenal in the three games that he's played.
Yeah, and they're 10-point home favorites too.
Yeah. So David Montgomery, I think, is in a really good spot this week. You have to have interest in Devon Achane right now. I mean, he's been incredibly efficient. And then, you know, we've also seen games where, you know, he's handled more of the workload, but he's also handling a pretty sizable amount of the pass game usage as well. And Raheem Mostert kind of slid back a little bit last week in terms of volume last week. And so I do think that, you know, Achane is a way you could go, but I'm also going to be really wanting to see what his ownership is going to come in at, because if he's going to be super high owned, then I may avoid that, because I think he could get steamed up this week. Cause then it's also in a matchup against the Giants, but it's really going to depend on ownership for me on that play. If I have interest there to play somebody like him, but he has been phenomenal.
Yeah. Cause he's still splitting carries with Mostert too. It's not like it's just his backfield. So, I mean, there definitely is a downside to him.
So there, he's splitting the carries. He did play 66% of the snaps last week, but he only handled 47% of the rush attempts, but 68% of the routes with a 14% target share. But his numbers are just bonkers. Like, he is stupid. First in yards created per touch. He is 8.7 true yards per carry. Is obviously number one among all running backs. First in breakaway run rate. Third in juke rate. A 3.09 yards per route run as a running back is just absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, it's a great matchup. The Giants allowed the 10th most DK points. They've allowed the third most touchdowns and the fourth most rushing yards on the season. So it is a fantastic spot for these running backs as well. And then lastly, one thing I would be only thing that worries me with Swift has mainly just been his involvement in the passing game. He's only running a route on his route participation is 46.2%, which is 22nd among all running backs. And he has a 9% target share, which is 26th. Obviously for somebody that is a prolific pass catcher out of the backfield, for him not to be utilized that way is kind of frustrating, but he's been super efficient on his carries. I mean, 6.3 true yards per carry is second. Obviously behind Achan, but he's still been really good. He's playing 56% of the snaps. He's handling a 16% target per out run rate, which is better, but he's just not seeing the targets. So, or he's just not getting as much routes. So that is, but I do think it does worry me, but just because he's not as involved as a pass catcher. So if he doesn't score a touchdown, it would worry me. Then he becomes a little bit more touchdown dependent in that regard. So other than that, like, in terms of other options, like I think you could have a conversation about somebody like Gus Edwards, because this is a really good matchup for Gus Edwards against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has been dreadful against the run, but Gus Edwards just hasn't been very good this year. But it still is a really good matchup for him this week. So if you wanted to look there at 5K, if you're looking for somebody cheaper, you could do that, because Pittsburgh allows the sixth most DK points and they've allowed the second most rushing yards to running backs so far. To start the season, but just he's been really bad as a runner. But he did play 71% of the snaps last week. He did have a 12% target share as well. He ran 56% of the routes, but he is 52nd in yards created per touch and 34th in yards per target.
Is that bad?
But he is, yeah. And but he is bad. 9th in breakaway run rate. So that is one feather, I guess, you could put into his cap. But so I think you could look there as well as a running backs. But I agree, Bijan is a smash play. It, I think there is a much straighter path, because last week it was like, oh man, all these running backs suck. Like, at least with this, like, you feel a little bit better about some of the options that are sitting out there. But
do you think it's a three running back week, like running back and flex? I usually shy away from it because of, you know, there's usually a lack of options. But this week, I feel like there's not a lack of options.
No, I mean, we didn't talk about it. Joe Mixon also is in a really good spot as well, and he is a little bit cheaper at $6,400 as well against Arizona, and also Arizona, that's where they really struggle against the run. But and we haven't seen, you know, it feels like every year we get one game where Joe Mixon just breaks the slate, you know, and just absolutely crushes, and this feels like a game it could. He's going to carry no ownership whatsoever.
What, he scored 5 touchdowns in that one game last year?
Yeah, like it feels like he does that every year, where he has this one monster game that people just weren't looking at, that weren't expecting, and this feels like that game could happen. But $6,400, he's not going to get the same owner. He's not going to get steamed up, because you have David Montgomery, who is just ahead of him at $200, a little bit more. And there's a couple running backs like Achan or Mostert or Swift that are a little bit cheaper than him. So I think he is going to go overlooked, but he's only $6,400. As well. And so, I mean, and then you're talking about a player who handles 80% of the snaps, who handles the, you know, 70 to 80% of the rush attempts, is involved in the passing game. So
Higgins might be out. So, you know, with Burrow being immobile, like, that could just be more checkdowns.
Yeah. So I do like Joe Mixon as well, as kind of a little bit under the radar type play. So that's where I'm going to be at this week. I'm going to be, Bijan, David Montgomery, Mixon, a little bit of Achan, but then I'm going to go drop down to, like I said, Breece Hall. I'm just going to have an insane amount of Breece Hall. So, and then if I, you know, depending on how the build turns out, if I have a team where I'm, you know, looking for some savings at running back, I could conceivably convince myself to play Gus Edwards, but I don't love him. So anyways, I think that's it. Like, I think people probably want to know, like, you know, about the Broncos situation, but Javonte Williams, because like Jaleel McLaughlin is only 5K, but Javonte Williams returned to practice today. So it sounds like there's a better than – there's a decent shot that he plays this week, which just kind of muddles the whole thing back up. But I know people were going to want to talk about that. I also, like, if you wanted to play Jerick McKinnon in, like, a stack with Mahomes, you could do that as well. At least $4,900. So I think that is another way you could go. Or, honestly, I think Isaiah Pacheco is also in play. But anyways, I just wanted to mention that. So let's jump over to the wide receiver position. And
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where you have to make some decisions because you have Justin Jefferson, who's $9,400. Tyreek's $9K. The Cooper Kupp, as long as he's able to come back, is $8,600, like we've already mentioned. And then you have A.J. Brown at $8K. And then the 7,000 wide receivers are Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Puka Nacua, Jalen Waddle, Devonta. And that is it at the $7K. Then you have a little bit of a drop-off to the $6K wide receivers, who starts off with Olave, T. Higgins, who is very questionable, Michael Pittman, Judy, Garrett Wilson, and that is it in terms of the 6K range. So, Maddie, who are you looking at up here at the top?
I mean, you have to have interest in Jefferson, right? I know 9,400 is steep, but, I mean, he's just so consistent and just has a monster ceiling every single week. Like, last year, I think he had 8 or 9 games where he eclipsed 30 DK points. And he had a couple where he was over 40. So, you know, 9,400 is a steep price tag, but, you know, in a game against the Chiefs, you know, they're going to have to keep up. And Minnesota just throws a lot anyways, because they can't really get anything going with that run game this year. So you have to have interest in Jefferson. And then Tyreek Hill against any interest in Tyreek Hill against a man coverage, blitz heavy scheme, New York Giants defense. Yes, please. Definitely have interest in that. 9K. You know, we talk about the Miami running backs, but I mean, it's also a realistic possibility that Tyreek just blows the slate in half and scores 50 himself. So, he's definitely in play at 9K. I mentioned I like Stafford. I'm just going to be out on Cup until we know, you know, what his role is. I'm going to wait and see on him. So, like, I think Cup can be used in high leverage situations. So, like, third downs, you know, inside the 20, you know, in the red zone, when they're close to scoring touchdowns. I think that's where Cup's going to be used, but I don't think he's going to be used enough, like get his normal 15 targets where he's going to pay off his $8,600 price tag. So, I'm out on Cup this week. And then I already mentioned, you know, I like the Philly and Rams game, but the Rams have actually done a really good job of defending receivers this year. So I think a lot of people are going to, if they stack Philly and the Rams, are going to go to one of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And I actually just like going either Goddard or Swift as the run back there. So I'm off the Philly wide receivers this week. And if T. Higgins is out, I don't know how you just don't play Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, the guy is going to be pretty much a lock for 15 targets. He had double-digit targets in the games that T. has missed in the past, pretty much every game. That T has been out, you know, Chase has been like 12, 15, you know, targets and is just going to be heavily involved, and it's Arizona. So, and if there is, you know, an inkling of Burrow's getting somewhat healthy, I definitely want to be on Chase, with T Higgins being out and Burrow is somewhat healthy. So, I definitely have interest in Ja'Marr Chase this week. If Kupp is out, I will be playing Puka with Stafford at 7.7. I think 7.7 is still too cheap for Puka's role. Double digit targets in almost every game so far this year. He has one game of 20 and one game of 15. He finally scored a touchdown last week and got to 34 DK points. But he also has a game of 33 DK points with no touchdowns and a game of 25 DK points with no touchdowns. So again, if Stafford, you know, starts finding the end zone and it, you know, happens to be Puka. If Kupp is out, you know, Puka actually does have a 40 point ceiling. So don't let that 7.7K price tag scare you off. So definitely have interest there. And then scrolling down. So last year, I already mentioned that Steichen, when he was with the Eagles last year, and now he's with the Colts, when he was with the Eagles last year and the Eagles played Tennessee, Jalen Hurts had the most pass attempts of the entire season, where he threw 39. And he only ran the ball 5 times. So if you know, history is going to repeat itself in this same exact matchup. We can expect Richardson is going to throw the ball more and run a little bit less. And so Michael Pittman at 6,400 and Josh Downs at 3,700 are, I have heavy interest in both of those guys. In this matchup last year, AJ Brown had 10 targets. He went 8 for 119 and 2. And then Devontae Smith had 8 targets, went for 5, 102 and 1. So both the two main receivers for Philly last year, both went over 100 yards, both got in the end zone, and they combined for 18 targets. So you can play one of Pittman or Downs. They're both affordable. Pittman is obviously the wide receiver one there, but you have to pay a little bit more for him. And Downs is the clear wide receiver two in that offense and is a very explosive receiver as well. So I have interest in both of those Colts receivers. So I will be playing one of them. And then we already mentioned the Jets, Garrett Wilson at 6K. If Zach Wilson's going to be somewhat competent, you know, you have to have interest in Garrett Wilson at that price tag against Denver. So there's definitely interest there. And then from there, just moving down, I just don't really have a ton of interest in any of these cheaper receivers. And I know you mentioned Rashee Rice. Absolutely, if you're playing Mahomes, you can play him. I wouldn't necessarily play him in a one-off because if he's smashing, the odds that Mahomes is not smashing are very low. So I would just make sure you're playing Rice with Mahomes. I wouldn't play Rice by himself. So that pretty much does it for me. If I will say too, if Amon-Ra somehow does miss this game, Khalif Raymond probably slots in as the starting slot receiver there. And he's 3,300. There was three games where Amon-Ra missed or played less than 12% of the snaps last year. And Raymond was a focal point of the offense in all three of those games. I think one game he had 5 catches for 75 yards. So, you know, at 3,300, he's definitely in play. Josh Reynolds was also a big part of that offense last year when Amon-Ra was either not playing or very, very limited. And then obviously they're getting Jameson Williams back this week as well. So, you know, that offense is just interesting as a whole if Amon-Ra misses. Because I don't think Jameson's going to come in and get, you know, a full allotment of snaps week one. But I could be wrong. Because they didn't really play him, you know, full allotment of snaps last year either when he was, you know, fully healthy. So receiver is pretty much the 6K and up guys for me, with the exception of I really like Josh Downs at 3,700.
Yeah, I think you have to like him a lot with the matchup they have here. Obviously, you know, we kind of already talked about it with, I guess, Tennessee, you want to throw the ball against them. So, Mike, that's why I really do like Michael Pittman as well at his price, $6,400. Last week was a little bit of a dud, but previously to that, he had seen at least 10 or more targets in the three straight previous games prior to that. And so, I mean, Pittman at $6,400, and then Nico Collins, $5,600. I like that matchup as well there. He has been a alpha wide receiver so far this season. He is seeing, outside of, you know, that week three matchup where they kind of blew the doors off the Jaguars, he's seen 9 or more targets in 3 of the 4 games this year as well. So he is a definite target earner within that offense. And $5,600 is still too cheap with the upside that he has. I mean, he has 2 games already with 30 plus DK points as well. It feels like he should be way more expensive than the $5,600 that he already that he's priced at right now. It just feels like a misprice for him. And then if you do have some interest in this game, I do think Hollywood Brown is somebody that you could look at. I mean, surprisingly, Joshua Dobbs has played really well this year.
Yeah.
Marquise Brown, while he hasn't been like somebody that's like had a nuclear game yet, he still has been productive, scoring, you know, 16 or more DK points in three straight games. He's only 5K, and so this is a matchup that, you know, that could get where they're really forced to throw the ball quite a bit. And so 5K Hollywood Brown, I think, is somewhere you could look as well, kind of an off the radar type play. And then I completely agree with the cheap options. You brought up 2 of the guys that I was going to talk about. We already talked about Rashee Rice, and then Josh Downs was another guy. I think Braxton Berrios as well you could look at. He saw 6 targets last week, 17.4 DK points. He is still only $3,600. And then the other guy that I wanted to bring up is Wandale Robinson. He is still nut minimum at 3K, He does have the questionable tag, but it sounds like he should be good to go for this week. But he is, in the two games he's returned from this injury that he suffered last year with the torn ACL, he has seen 11 targets over that span. And so starting to get become a little bit more involved in this offense. I think it's definitely I definitely would expect they're going to be a team that's going to get to throw the ball a lot this week again. And so Wandale Robinson looks like the best wide receiver they have right now, and he's only 3K. And so if you're looking for a really cheap option, I think Wandale would be another way you could look here within this offense, or another player you could target that is cheap right now. So other than that, top guys, I completely agree. I mean, it's Tyreek, pick your poison, Tyreek or Justin Jefferson, and you're probably not going to be able to fit both of them in. But, you know, both of those guys are in elite spots every single week. The Ja'Marr Chase, though, at $7,900, we know the kind of upside that he has. And if, you know, if he go, if Joe Burrow is able to, you know, start to look a little bit more like Joe Burrow, you know, this could be a steal of a price at only $7,900. He's a player that's typically priced a little bit more up into that 8-9K range. And he is not right now because of how poorly they have played. And then I think if you're wanting a little bit of leverage, Jaylen Waddle at $7,500, the usage has been there. It's just been the production hasn't yet so far. And that is going to change at some point. And so Jaylen Waddle at $7,500 is also where I would be looking to go to as a little bit more probably of a cheap or not cheaper, but lower owned type play. So that being said, is there any other wide receivers you want to talk about? You jump over to tight end.
Jump to tight end.
All right. We're moving right along. Love to see it. So you have Kelce at $7,600 and a $1,100 difference all the way down to TJ Hockenson. And then there's another $1,000 drop off down to Mark Andrews. Then you have Darren Waller at $5,400. Laporta's 5K. Feels too cheap for him. Hunter Henry's $4,400. Dallas Goedert's 42. Higby is 41. And then you have the same kind of cast of characters here among them as well. And I should mention that it sounds like Patty Fry is probably not going to play. He is listed as very doubtful to this point. So that could be, I guess we didn't really talk about the wide receivers, but if he is out, that could probably open the door a little bit more for somebody like not even just a George Pickens, but also like a Calvin Austin, who's going to be really cheap because that is one of their main target getters that's going to be gone from this game. So anyways, who are you looking to play at tight end?
Yeah, the two big guys at the top, Kelce and Hockenson, are obviously in play. It's two really good matchups for both of these guys, and they're both focal points of the offense. So I can't fault you if you can get up to them. It's just going to be a matter of what you like at the other positions if you can afford those two guys there. So those two are obviously in play. Laporta at 5K, you mentioned that's too cheap for him, especially if Amon-Ra were to, you know, miss this game. You know, that's just another step up the ladder for Laporta in terms of being a priority for Jared Goff passes. So Laporta looks really good. 5K for an elite tight end is pretty much too cheap. Goddard, already mentioned him, makes a really good run back in Stafford stacks. I wouldn't play him otherwise. Higbee, the same. If you want to play Higbee with Stafford, you absolutely can do that. I wouldn't play him otherwise. And then if you're just wanting to not punt, but play a cheaper tight end that you don't necessarily need correlation for, the guy that's like number two in expected fantasy points at the tight end position is $3,500, Zach Ertz, which is weird to say in the year 2023, but he did also drop a touchdown last week that when they were driving down the field against San Francisco, and the ball just went right through his hands. So you could have added, you know, it was another, I think it was like 15 or 20 yards. So you give him, you know, a catch and 20 yards and a touchdown. All of a sudden he's at 20 DK points last week if he converts that. So yeah, he would have, if he caught that and he has a game log where it's showing 20 DK points and he's 3,500, he would be, you know, 20 to 25% owned this week. I don't think he's going to get there because I think there's enough tight end options that ownership's going to spread out a little bit, but yeah, he's the clear value for me. If you're just looking to pay down, it would be Zach Ertz. Because like you mentioned, Dobbs has not been awful. He's actually been competent, and Zach Ertz gets double digit targets. So
yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, you know, I think, you know, Sam Laporta is always going to be in play with the role that he has, especially if Amon-Ra St. Brown were to miss. It's absolutely wheels up for Sam Laporta, who, you know, last week they didn't really have to throw the ball as much, but targeted five times. But the week prior to that against Atlanta, he saw 11 targets. But Sam LaPorta is still, I think, is going up in price, rightfully so, but 5K is intriguing. And then Tyler Higbee at $4,100. And then eventually Dallas Goedert's got to break out, right? Dallas Goedert's finally got to have a game here at some point because he has been dreadful.
You would think.
And he's only $4,200, which is a little bit cheaper than what – I mean, his price has kind of gradually dropped down. He opened the season at 5K. He's down to $4,200 now. But you feel like at some point that would change. But, yeah, I completely agree. I don't really have anything else to really talk about. Like, you think that Kyle Pitts at $3,300, like, but I just – I can't do it. Like, Arthur Smith is a jackass.
Yeah, no, they're targeting Jonnu Smith as much as they're using Pitts.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's sick.
Yeah. So, anyways, I don't really have nothing else really to talk about the tight end position. Like I said, if I'm going to pay up, and I also likely for this week because there's not like a ton of like just really super like obvious plays of at tight end. So it's always just kind of the smarter route to just whoever you're stacking, just throw the tight end in the stack.
Yep.
With what you're doing, I think that's probably the direction that I'm going to try to go this week. So. Let's go ahead and jump over to defense this week. And as we always do, we start at the bottom. And, I mean, Titans at $2,400?
Yep, that was the first defense I plugged in when I built a placeholder.
Yeah,
I mean Richardson's going to throw a lot. If, you know, for all the reasons we like Pittman and Downs, right, you're asking Anthony Richardson, who – I guess that was the one knock to his profile coming out of college was, you know, inaccuracy with, you know, passing. So if you're going to ask him to throw a lot, that's obviously asking for turnovers and, you know, things like that to happen. Doesn't mean the receivers can't still get there, but the defense also, you know, the opposing defense is also 1,000% in play and they're 2,400. So yeah, if I'm just picking a cheap defense, it's the Titans for me.
Yeah, I completely agree. And then a couple other options that aren't overly expensive. I think the Saints, you know, against the Patriots, they're 3K, but
Steelers
kind of worries me. The Jets are still only $3,100. You know, that's not crazy to pay up for. Like, I'm not paying all the way up for like the top tier defenses. And really, the Eagles at $3,900 against the Rams just seems ridiculous. Like, I don't know why they're that expensive. You know, yeah. against the Rams. But yeah. Other than that, that's probably. But I'm probably gonna have a ton. I'm just gonna plan a flag. Just go with the Titans.
Yep.
There in that situation.
If I have the $300 salary extra, I do like the Steelers at home against Baltimore. You know, Baltimore's kind of banged up on the offense, and they really only have two guys. It's Andrews and freaking Flowers. So, you know, Pittsburgh has done one thing well on defense, and that's get after the quarterback this year. They've got 13 sacks in four games. So, them playing at home in a divisional matchup, those tend to always be low scoring in the AFC North. So, I do like Pittsburgh as well.
All right, let's just go ahead and build this lineup there, Maddie. Where do you want to start?
We both love Breece Hall and he's affordable. So let's go ahead and just plug him in.
All right, got him locked in. Let's do it. Let's go Stafford.
Let's do, as a run back, let's do Goddard.
All right. I am going to take one of his pass catchers here. I'm going to go with Puka. I think he still gets it done.
I like it.
So we have $5,400 remaining. We still need a running back, two wide receivers, a flex, and a defense with Stafford, Breece, Puka, and Goddard.
Let's try Bijan. And if we can't, we'll make an adjustment. But let's give it a try.
I'm going to go with Jordan Addison at $5,300.
I like that. And after getting no targets last week, can have a bounce back game here. Nobody's going to be on him after a zero burger. Let's go ahead and plug in Titans D.
All right. I'm going to leave you with a decent amount of money here.
Okay.
Because I'm going to go with Rashee Rice as a little mini stack here in that game. So that's going to leave $8,100 left on the table.
Let's go. Let's go Jamar Chase.
Oh, I like that. This is an interesting team. I like this team.
I do as well. This is very similar to the build that I'm playing with on my main team so far. It's just pay down for one value wide receiver, whether it's Downs or if you like Rice, you know, it's Rice, or if Amon-Ra's out, it can be Khalif Raymond or Josh Reynolds or something like that. You just pay down there and then you can play with Stafford and punt defense, and you can play pretty much all the dudes.
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of what we're doing, because we have – so the team is Stafford, Breece Hall, Bijan, Nacua, Addison, Rice, Goddard, Jamar Chase, and the flex, and Titans D with still $200 on the table.
I like it.
I like it way more than the team we built last week.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, I think this team is very, very good. So, yeah, I like that. I think this is a – we're locking that in. So – yeah, I think this is an interesting week. Like, I think you could, there's, with limited options, I still think there's enough here that you can kind of get a little bit different and go a little bit off the board, but still kind of get the, you know, some of the high price guys in. Because there's still a lot of things you could have done with this lineup. Like, if you really wanted to, we could have not played Bijan, and you could have played like Tyreek or somebody like that. Or, you know, or if you didn't play him, you could also probably have enough to be able to get up to like a Justin Jefferson and not play Addison. Like, there's definitely things, different things you could do within this lineup to kind of change things and still feel really good about it. So I really do like this week, and I like the slate that we have this week way better than I think what we had last week. This might be one of my favorite slates we've had so far through the first 5 weeks of the year.
Yeah, I agree. I really like this slate. There's definitely a handful of ways you can go at pretty much each position. So it's, you know, I think ownership will be semi spread out. And if it's not, you know, it's pretty clear where you can go to be different. So I like this slate a lot.
Yeah, I completely agree. So anyways, with that being said, I mean, we're just record time today too, as well.
Let's go.
We're well under an hour. So, you know, that's what happens when you don't have D-Bro on here. Maybe once at some point we'll get D-Bro on, but you know, I mean, he talks about like, he just wrote the primer and he's tired and all, whatever, dude, you know, I don't want to hear it. All right.
We'll get him on for Thanksgiving. Probably
winners win. All right. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. I don't care about your sleep. Anyways, that being said, appreciate everybody rocking with us. Hope everybody wins some money this week on this slate. If you want to, you can jump into our absolutely free Discord. You'll find that in the link of any of our YouTube channel videos. It's there and it's absolutely free. So, and that place is getting more and more packed, and it just kind of is now self-sustaining, which I appreciate. Like, it's not like we have to be in there at all times, like keep conversation going. Now it just rolls on its own, and that's kind
of what's good for you. Yeah, I will say too, if for anybody that has DFS questions in the Discord, I'm not in there often, like just without being tagged. So if you have DFS specific questions, feel free to tag me. And when I get tagged, I usually hop in immediately because I get the notification for it. So, but it's kind of like you said, you know, I don't need to be in there, you know, all day, every day when there's other folks that are in there already answering questions. But you know, if there's anybody that's got, you know, specific DFS questions or start sit or whatever, if you want to tag me, I'm happy to hop in, but I'm not always monitoring without being tagged. So.
Yeah. I try to at least monitor what's going on in there since, you know, it's a little bit more important for me to monitor it than other people, but I try to make sure nothing bad's going on. But other than that, it's been good. So it's been a good start to the year. Hope everybody wins some money this weekend, and appreciate everybody rocking with us. And we'll be back in on – actually, we'll be back again next week, but we do have our live show that we do every Sunday morning where we answer a bunch of questions and do all that stuff as well. But as far as DFS, we'll be back again next week for week 6. So, hope everybody has a good night, and we will see you guys again very soon. Let's win some money this week. Goodbye. We out! Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Used to the way the war about me. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Think you're right enough. Think you're right enough. Think you're a big man. You like your little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah. That's a break, little man. Break it down.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.